This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ عباده المؤمنين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وورث سليمان داود وقال يا أيها الناس علمنا منطق الطير وأوتينا من كل شيء إن هذا لهو الفضل المبين. صدق الله العظيم. So yep, we were discussing the amazing stories that the Quran references regarding Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. And we spoke about this unique story from Surah Anbiya, father and son, and how Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam was open to the ijtihad and the thinking process of his son, despite his son being junior. And yet there's another amazing incident of Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam in the Quran in chapter 38, Surah Sad, verse 22. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the time when Sayyidina Dawood was in his chamber and he was worshipping and he was alarmed, by the إِذْ تَصَوَّرُوا الْمِحْرَابِ إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُودَ فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ قَالُوا لَا تَخَافْ. When two disputants and two litigants and two adversaries just came barging into the presence of Dawood alayhi salam, and they said, "Khasmani baga ba'duna ala ba'din." We are two disputants, we are two litigants, and we are having an argument. "Inna hadha akhi," this is my brother, not biological, but you know, brother as associate, etc. "Lahu tis'un wa tis'una na'ja," he has 99 sheep, or literally iu, meaning a female sheep. "Wali na'jatun wahida," and I only have one. "Faqala akfilniha wa 'azzani fil khitab," and he wants to take my one and make it 100. And he's dominant, he's vociferous, he's articulate. "Fahkum baynana bil haqq," we want the truth from you. "Wala tushtit," "wahdina ila sawa'is sirat," we want a fair, accurate, correct, and honest judgment in this regard. And so Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam was sitting, and suddenly these two people just make their presence. And you know what? There is this argument and altercation, and each one coming across in a strong way. And listen, we need the truth from you. And it's amazing. I mean, I've read this whole write-up there in, Ruh al-Ma'ani, what Allama Alusi Baghdadi writes there. "Fahkum baynana bilhaqi, ay wala tatajawazhu, wala tub'id anil haqi, wal murad fil jami'." لا تجر في الحكومة وأرادوا بهذا الأمر والنهي إظهار الحرص على ظهور الحق والرضا به من غير ارتياب بأنه عليه السلام يحكم بالحق ولا يجور في الحكم. Amazing that by adopting this expression and impressing upon Dawood alayhi salam, we want truth. They were passionate to say, we want a fair judgment. We want an honest judgment. I mean, today you look at the legal system, and you look at the judges, and you look at the court hearing and proceedings, and you see how flawed and how biased and the nepotism and how double standard and how hypocritical it is. That there is no truth left to this here. There is no weight and clout and muscle to it. It takes so long, it drags on, and really is the absolute truth passed in this regard, because the credentials and the scruples and the values of people are just not there anymore. So we want the absolute truth, and Dawood alayhi salam is calm and composed. وفي تحمل داود ذلك دلالة على أنه ينبغي للحاكم أن يتحمل مثل ذلك من المتخاصمين لا سيما إذا كان ممن معه الحق. That we learn from this that the fact that Dawood was tolerant and accommodating to these two disputants and litigants and adversaries, that a person who is passing judgment, he needs to have a broad chest and broad shoulders. And sometimes a person might be more vociferous or assertive or articulate, especially when he feels his right has been violated. And this ayah impresses upon us and releases the hint. In fact, he further writes, Allama Alusi Baghdadi, that we learn from this that Al-Hakim, وَمَنْ لَهُ نَوْعُ رُجُوعٍ إِلَيْهِ فِي الْخُسُومَةِ كَالْمُفْتِي كَيْفَ لَا يَقْتَدِي كَيْفَ لَا يَقْتَدِي بهذا النبي الأواب في ذلك بل يغضب والعجب والعجب من حاكم أو محكم أو من إليه نوع رجوع في الخصومة كيف لا يقتدي بهذا النبي الأواب في ذلك بل يغضب كل الغضب لأدنى كلمة تصدر من أحد الخصمين ولو فلتة يتوهم منها الحت لقدره ولو فكر في نفسه لعلم أنه بالنسبة إلى هذا النبي الأواب لا يعدل والله العظيم متك ذباب. Oh my word, this is just next level. Allama Alusi Baghdadi writes in Ruh al-Ma'ani that so strange and so unfortunate that the judge of today, the mufti of today, or anyone who's been given some authority, who's presiding over a matter, you are the panel that is presiding over this matter. Why don't you follow the example of Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam, that you need to be calm and composed and be absolute, frank, honest and candid, and that you should not stray from the truth. But here on the reverse, that يَغْضَبُ كُلَّ الْغَضَبِ لِأَدْنَى كَلِمَةٍ تَصْدُرُ وَلَوْ فَلْتَةً مِنْ أَحَدِ الْخَصْمَيْنِ, that if anybody has to say anything which he feels is a violation to his self-esteem, there's no limit to his anger and rage, and he feels that, you know what, that is degrading my authority, you're challenging my expertise, you know how long I'm on the bench. So what? We need accuracy, we need honesty, we need transparency, we need the truth, we need you to be frank. And if you were to be frank and compare yourself to this Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, لَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَى هَذَا النَّبِيِّ وَاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ لَا يَعْدِلُ مَتْكَ ذُبَابٍ. He says, you don't even equal the proboscis of a fly. You know, the elongated feeding tube that's attached to the head of a fly or a mosquito or insects or creatures. You don't even equate that. That's how trivial and insignificant you are. But you won't have the courage to display the courage, the confidence, the vision, the fortitude of this Nabi. So these are the lessons of Quran, my brother, my sister, my listener, my viewer. If we had people of this caliber to whom we could reach out and we could get justice. And of course, in a professional setting, you cannot impose yourself on someone who's doing it in a voluntary capacity and expect him to leave everything and come away, because unfortunately, that's the situation, right? The Quran speaks about in the longest ruku in Surah Baqarah about the scribe. If you've got skill and ability and you can write and you're literate, then make your literacy and your ability available to help people. But then Allah tells the other people, وَلَا يُضَرَّ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَهِيدٌ وَلَا يُضَرَّ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَهِيدٌ. You need justice. You need someone to write. You need a witness to come to court. Don't impose on them. Don't cause them pain. It's your issue. He was an eyewitness. Now he needs to come and give testimony. You need his literacy. وَلَا يُضَرَّ, I'm giving you verbatim. Don't cause harm to the scribe, to the literate, and to the witness at the time appropriate, when and if possible, accordingly. That's the time you arrange and facilitate whatever proceedings need to happen. So that's the beauty and the holistic approach of the Quran. In fact, there's a reflection then in Bayanul Quran on this year. فيه عبرة للمغتر بتقدسه إذا قيل للمعصوم فكيف بالمأثوم ولا عاصم من أمر الله إلا المرحوم فلا تتكبر كإبليس المرجوم لا إله إلا الله. If a ma'soom, a sinless person, that is a Nabi, is being told like this here, that we want the truth, we want fairness, we want justice, we want honesty, we want transparency, then what about the fallible mortal? What about the regular average individual? فَكَيْفَ بِالْمَأْثُومِ وَلَا عَاصِمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْمَرْحُومِ. And only the one whom Allah guides and protects can be safeguarded. فَلَا تَتَكَبَّرْ كَإِبْلِيسِ الْمَرْجُومِ. So don't feel that I cannot make a mistake. I'm passing so much judgment. I'm so anchored. I'm so well acquainted. I'm fine. No. A Nabi is being told, and a Nabi is divinely protected. So every other person should be open to listening attentively, should apply himself, before passing judgment. Sometimes parents in their children. Now it's a feud between siblings, and a parent, it's very sensitive because all are your children. It's awkward, it's sensitive. You might have a soft spot for one. These are very, very challenging things. مَنْ جُعِلَ قَاضِيًا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فَقَدْ ذُبِحَ بِغَيْرِ سِكِّينَ. If you've been appointed as a judge, then it's almost like you've been slaughtered without a knife. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah refused to accept the position of judge, and then he was flogged for it, and he still refused. It's not an easy position. You need to understand and appreciate. إِذَا كَانَ التَّوْقِيعُ بِمَنْصَبٍ مِّنَ الْمُلُوكِ لَا يُنْكَرُ فَضْلُهُ وَلَا يُجْهَلُ قَدْرُهُ فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْصَبِ التَّوْقِيعُ عَنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Right? It's mentioned there in Usulul Iftah as well, that to be a signatory of a prominent person coordinating the affairs of a cabinet minister or something is a sense of pride and honor and dignity. Can you imagine when you are passing judgment and you are saying this is the ruling of Allah? Do you appreciate the weight of that judgment? Do you appreciate how daunting that responsibility is? Okay, so that's a quick look at two separate incidents pertaining to Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. And from both we learn that we need to be very, very circumspect, calculated in passing judgment. And we also learn that we need to be amenable. My children could talk to me, they could advise me. My students could talk to me, they could advise me. Yes, we would impress upon them, follow the necessary protocol, appreciate the relationship, that's your senior. But from the side of the senior, and in our rich history, scholars have differed, jurists have differed, and there was respect between the jurists. I mean, there are so many differences between Imam Shafi'i and Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah in so many aspects, but there was respect. لقد زان البلاد ومن عليها إمام المسلمين أبو حنيفة بأحكام وآثار وفقه كآيات الزبور في الصحيفة فما بالمشرقين له نظير ولا بالمغربين ولا بكوفة فرحمة ربنا أبدا عليه مدى الأيام. لا إله إلا الله. إمام شافعي paying tribute to إمام أبو حنيفة. لقد زان البلاد ومن عليها إمام المسلمين أبو حنيفة. He referred to Imam Abu Hanifa as Imam al-Muslimin, the leader of the believers. Zan al-Bilad, he's adorned, he's decorated this earth. Bi ahkamin wa atharin wa fiqhin, with his juristic understanding, deductions, rulings, guidance, etc. Fama bil mashriqayni lahu nadhirun wala bil maghribayni wala bi kufa. The world couldn't produce another Abu Hanifa, another Nu'man bin Thabit. It was just one. Even Kufa couldn't produce another one. فَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّنَا أَبَدًا عَلَيْهِ. May the mercy of Allah descend upon him. And these are tribute being poured upon him from the giant Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i himself. Okay, we move on. So verse number 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَرِثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُدُ. Sulaiman alayhi salam succeeded his father. Succeeded. Ya waritha, as explained by the scholars, doesn't mean material monetary inheritance. Because in the galaxy of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, there is no transfer of inheritance. Whatever the Anbiya leave behind, it is charity. So how a father dies and a son inherits, that does not happen in the group and the galaxy of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبَ وَجَعَلْهُ رَبِّ رَضِيَّ. Yes, it is that transmission of knowledge and hikmat and ilm. وَوَرِثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُودُ. Verse 16, we continue with this amazing discussion. Father and son, Sulaiman and Dawood, Solomon and David, peace be upon them both. عَلَيْهِمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Sulaiman alayhi salam succeeded Dawood in kingdom, in knowledge, in wisdom, in being the guidance, the guide for Bani Israel, and of course Allah crowned him with prophethood. وَوَرِثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُودَ وَقَالَ, and he said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ, O people, عُلِّمْنَا مَنْطِقَ الطَّيْرِ. We have been taught the language of birds. Let's process this here. Subhanallah. You have a king in this world. He's got clout. He's got muscle on the press of a button. There's so many people that rally around him. He's got his exclusive doctor. He's got his medical team. And so what? When it's time up, إِنَّ الطَّبِيبَ بِطِبِّهِ وَدَوَائِهِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ دِفَاعَ مَقْدُورِ الْقَضَى مَا لِلطَّبِيبِ يَمُوتُ بِالدَّاءِ الَّذِي قَدْ كَانَ يُبْرِئُ مِثْلَهُ فِيمَا مَضَى هَلَكَ الْمُدَاوِي وَالْمُدَاوَى وَالَّذِي جَلَبَ الدَّوَاءَ وَبَاعَهُ وَمَنْ اشْتَرَى. The doctor, the medical, the drug company, everyone, with all their expertise, when Allah has decreed death, they cannot avert, divert, or change destiny in any way. But look at the kingdom Allah gave Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Waqala, he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, ulimna mantiqa at-tayr. We've been taught the language of birds. Let's dissect this here. What was the need and the reason for Sulaiman alayhi salam to tell this to his people? In Bayanul Quran, it is mentioned to impress upon them that I am the king and the Nabi sent by Allah, so that they appreciate and understand who he was and that they follow the teachings and the guidance of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Now, there's one expression here is ulimna, we have been taught. Some say it suggests and indicates that perhaps Dawood alayhi salam also knew the language of the birds. But the preferred verdict is that that's not the case because there is no evidence to support that. So then how do we reconcile over the adoption of a plural expression, we have been taught? And the answer given to this in the tafsir is, this is a sense of authority. It's our rule. It's our command. It's our legislation. It's our decree. And often that's used in the context of power. It's used in the context of authority. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's authority and power is the greatest. And Allah has referenced his power, his might in a plural form. خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We've created the skies and the earth. But it's Allah alone, meaning might and power. We also learn from this here is that this is تَحَدُّث بِن نِعْمَة, تَحْدِيث بِن نِعْمَة. Sulaiman alayhi salam spoke about this in expressing the bounty of Allah. So, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Speak about the bounty of Allah. And this is exactly what he did. He spoke about it. But of course, there's a fine line in expressing it and a person becoming proud, conceited, and inflated. So the latter is forbidden, the former is fine and correct and encouraged. We need to speak, Allah's been so kind, Allah's given me good children, Allah's given me a house, Allah's given me health, Allah's given me this year. But we need to be very careful because the line is very fine between that year. The line is very fine between that, is that where you start becoming bragging about yourself. So what is tahdith bin ni'mah? Is you are revealing, expressing the favors of Allah upon you. You're displaying, Allah's been so kind. But the aim is not to magnify yourself, to magnify the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly what Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam did. Ya ayyuhan nasu ulimna mantiqa at-tayr. The words of the Quran say we've been taught the language of birds. But it's not exclusive to bird, because as we progress, the topic that follows through is he intercepted the communication of an ant. So that means it extended beyond birds. Of course, with the bird, there's a dialogue that's coming ahead. Can you imagine? Today, science wants to say, we've tapped into this, we're understanding the alarm bells, and we're understanding the code that the animal kingdom share, and how they sound a siren of danger, etc. And I mean, I have an eye for wildlife, I've seen it. Recently, I was in Lolobezi, in Lower Zambezi, in Zambia, and we were on a safari, and we seen a lion and a lioness stalking a prey. And then we also, it was just a sunset, we were going to do a sundown, and then, you know, we were intrigued into this beauty of nature just displaying itself. And then you would just see the siren and the whistle of the different birds and creatures. And that's just alerting the entire surroundings of panic and alert and precaution. And of course, this is the code with which they communicate. عُلِّمْنَا مَنْتِقَ الطَّيْرِ. We know the language of the birds and beyond. وَأُتِينَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And we've been given everything and anything we need to rule and govern. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُبِينَ. Indeed, this is a clear-cut, open favor, blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. So what do we learn from this? Like Allah referred to the incident of Dhul Qarnain, that Allah blessed him with wealth.
دل على أن حصول المال حتى الخزائن وحصول الجاه حتى السلطنة لا ينافي الكمال. That to own treasures, right to a kingdom, and to own prominence, right to being a ruler, does not go against the station of nobility, provided you discharge the obligations of the fame and the wealth that Allah has entrusted you with.